are listening to Omnis Protocol. I'm Charles, also known as Omnis. And if you listened to the last episode, you should not be surprised that this episode features Jamie, a.k.a. Hot Take Seraphim. Jalapeno Seraph. I don't know. What's your nickname now?
Well, it's still the Seraphim, but Hot Take Seraphim or Jalapeno Seraphim. I kind of like that one, too.
The Seraph of Sriracha.
Yep. So everyone who listened to the last episode and 100% disagreed with me and didn't like anything I said, just remember, email omnisprotocol@gmail.com. He will get back to you with personalized responses.
Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
We are continuing our tactics card hot takes. We had some interesting ones in the first round, but let's wrap them up with the second episode with the Seraph of Sriracha starting us off with 1-2 punch.
1-2 punch. I have this one as the middle of the road. I mean, you pay 2 for 2 extra dice. It does have the range penalty of being within range 2, but it's just kind of, sometimes it's going to be good, sometimes it's just going to be a dud.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I put it also as a C. I like it. I mean, there's some key attacks where you just want a couple more dice to like make sure they happen, like a for Asgard Thor play, something like that, where you're just like, you need that stagger to hit, and I don't mind it, and I think this is one I give to people a lot in demo games. I think if I saw someone taking it, I don't necessarily think it's a bad decision. It may be one of those that you take it just because you didn't have a lot of character-affiliated cards and you wanted something to like help you out with that key attack to finish something off. So,
right.
Solid C, I think.
Yep.
All right, I guess that means I'm doing patch-up.
You're doing patch-up.
I debated on this one between A or B, and I ended up settling on a B because I think more often now when you're going to take either med pack or patch up, I think med pack is going to be the more popular of the two. But I think there are absolutely going to be teams that take both. And so I still think it's very, very good. It has the ability to be played when neither of them are activating. And it can really, like, when you get to do this for 5, it's so rough. So I still really like it. And I could see myself playing both. Where did you put this one at?
I have this one as a B as well. Personally, I prefer med pack just because med pack's more efficient and has a longer range. Patch up doing a 1-for-1 up to 5, I think, can be great. Range 2 is a little bit tighter, but if I'm going to pick med pack or patch up, I'm going to take patch up. I'm going to take med pack. But if I'm playing a more defensive team, then yeah, I'm probably going to take them both.
Makes sense. I think we're on the same page there.
Yeah.
So, Psychic Fortress.
Psychic Fortress, MODOK's other card. You get cover. We're seeing a lot of attacks that start to ignore cover now. Rocket's running into that issue because he always has cover, and people are like, well, what about this attack? What about this attack? What about this attack? And so I don't really think it helps bump up your defenses. Sure, there might be situations where it could be good, but again, this is another middle of the road. This is a C. If you're playing MODOK and you, for some reason, have an extra spot, you might want to run it. But I think there are other cards that does this better.
So I had this at a C at first. I dropped it down to a D because I think Cabal has probably the most potential tactics cards to take. And this one in a vacuum is probably a C. But I fundamentally just think it is so hard to fit this one in compared to the other things that you can take. And I think it is only going to get harder. And the sort of cards that you're going to have MODOK play, like Follow Me, like Aim Lackeys, it's just there's so much for MODOK to already do. You don't necessarily need another card for him. And so I felt like this one needed to be a D.
Right.
It's just the reality of how often it's going to fit into your roster. It's just not quite there.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Psychic Shielding Device.
PSD.
It's weird. I dig this card It's definitely cool. I ended up settling on a C because I like that it protects your characters from being moved by the mystic superpowers, which is still very good, but this is one that you're fitting into your roster probably to specifically answer certain situations. And most of the things that do push you or advance you off aren't necessarily that power. So you're really going to be taking this to counter certain things if they become popular in your meta or your scene or against your primary opponent. But I just don't see it quite being enough at this point. Maybe after Doctor Strange, this card gets better. But right now, I put it at the middle of the road as a C.
I have this one as a B. But more of like a low grade B. I like the fact that it gives you the additional die on the defense rolls. I like the fact that you can't be advanced and you can't be pushed. Yes, it's
one
against
die
mystic.
Feels so token, right? Like one die is like averaging less than half a damage point. Like that one die isn't much.
It's like 40. It's like 0.4 of a damage. Yeah. I mean, there are situations that it could probably be good, but I think as we're seeing more mystic attacks come out and more mystic attacks that do weird shit like Loki, I think this is going to be valued more, but it's like you said, you're going to play it to counter. I like the fact that I can just very quickly spend a couple to bump up defense for a lot of people over a larger area. That's kind of why I put it as a B.
Yeah, that's fair. I think either one of those are reasonable answers. So how do you feel about Recalibration Matrix? I mean, I know we love the podcast. Both of the hosts are gorgeous.
Yes.
But what kind of grade do you give them?
Do I give the podcast? Well, the podcast is an S, obviously, always. Recalibration Matrix, I have...
Greg needs to be here. Yes. Okay.
Yes, absolutely. Recalibration Matrix, the card, I give a B. I think it's an absolutely solid choice. I would like it if it was a little bit cheaper. If it was 2 instead of 3, then I would have made it an A. And it's the fact that it's at the end of the modified die step, so if you get additional dice from crits, you get to re-roll those as well, which ends up making the math really funky and weird at times. However, if you're playing Venom, 100% an A+, because all of the weird shit you can do with Venom and Recalibration Matrix just makes it really funny.
I basically agree with everything you said, except I'm just down one slot on them. I settled into a C for the card. I think it's something you can take. It's not something that you're going to see a ton of, but when I see it in a team, I'm like, it's a solid choice. Mm-hmm. I will say I've had some games where people have played Recalibration Matrix at the perfect time where I just had like the baller attack roll and they had the crappy defense roll and it was just the perfect time to play it and changing the pace of the game. But I think that's also uncommon.
Yes.
So I went for a C, you went for a B.
I went for
not anything too, you know, not anything quite hot pockety there.
No, nothing really hot pockety.
Okay.
Ricochet Blast.
Let's see. So Ricochet Blast, if we had talked about this 2 months ago, I probably would have given it a D. I have recently come around on this card and I'm putting it as a B currently. I think it is an extremely consistent card that you could compare to a lot of the cards like, say, 1-2 Punch and that sort of thing, where you need this one key attack to just like finish off the right character. And having a 7 power attack, or like a strength 7 attack, where you can reroll any number of dice in it, and it's not too expensive. It's only 2 power each to generate this attack, and you can still use Friday AI on it, which makes it insane. And it's relatively reasonable from a range restriction perspective, where it just has to be within range 4 of Captain America, and Captain America usually wants to be up the board, and so it sets up things nicely. I like this card. I'm giving it a B, and I think it probably deserves more play than it gets.
I have this one as a D. I'm not a fan of the team-up cards that don't do anything additionally. So it's just a strength 7 attack.
Reroll any number.
Yeah, it's a strength 7 attack.
You have been... You're like, Dark Rain. Oh, stuff the jalapenos in my mouth.
Yeah, because Dark Rain affects multiple attacks. Like, yes.
I don't like the Iron Man character. Otherwise, I probably would have given this an A. But if you're playing Avengers, there's a reasonable chance you're playing Cap and Iron Man. That's not that crazy. And if you are, I would probably bring this card if you're playing those two.
Well, if you're playing Avengers, you probably should look at one of the better affiliations and reevaluate your life choices. And then
Sue just clicked at his heart, and it's just like, Jamie will never be on Lost the Bifrost, or he'll be on the who knows.
When I'm looking at the team-up cards where they utilize multiple characters, I want it to do a stagger. I want it to do a throw. I want it to do a push. If I'm just looking to just pick off a character and I just need that additional damage to get through with rerolls and dice fixing and stuff like that, then I'm going to pick a better character that can do it than Tony Stark, who... Yeah.
Okay. All right. So how do you feel about Rocket Boots?
So Rocket Boots I have as a C. I think it's situational. There are some fun shenanigans that you can get up with Rocket Boots, like the whole Hulk MODOK drop-off BS that can happen, which is hysterical.
Drop-off being an amazing card does not make up for Rocket Boots being a mediocre as shit card.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if we start seeing more size 4, size 5 terrain around, then yes, I can see how this can help. Because it lets you position that key character in that key spot, but it's, again, it's situational. Like, you're going to pull it out for a specific situation that you already have in your mind. And honestly, if you're not doing that for the Hulk MODOK drop-off shenanigans, then you could probably pick a different card.
Well, I think I agree with most of what you said, except I'm giving it a D because it's just not that good. Like, it's not going to take one of your card slots. Like, even of the weird drop-off tech, like, it's unlikely that you're going to take it. So I settled into a D for this one.
Okay.
All right, so... I guess I'm Sacrifice. That one's mine.
Or Sacrifice.
I like this card. There's some cool things that this sets up. Like, it even has Venom in the art and Black Panther, which I think are both very reasonable characters to potentially have a Sacrifice play. It only costs one power each. They do have to be within range 2, which... is not that crazy when you're trying to defend a point. It allows you to redirect damage to Ultron. Overall, I gave this character or this card a B because I do have some absolute teams that I think Sacrifice is a key element to that particular card. And who knows? I mean, you could play it in Cabal and just be like that key moment where Red Skull takes the damage instead of MODOK or something like that. That can turn around a whole game.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, you've got stuff like attacks that push, attacks that throw.
You have someone have a character that can't be pushed because they're pinned in.
Or you sacrifice to a character that's not contesting the objective that you need to win, and they get pushed off, and you're like, well, I don't care. Like, what does it matter at this point? Or, you know, hey... are you tired of Usurp? Does your regular opponent play Usurp a lot? Bring Sacrifice and watch your Usurp opponent cry. Because they go for that final strike. They need those final points of damage. You're like, no, don't attack Thor. You can go ahead and attack Nebula instead.
I thought you were going to say Nebula. And like, Nebula's just like, yeah, I understand. I'm a masochist.
Yeah. Yeah, so you tag Nebula. Oh, look, Thor's still around. You didn't get the usurp off. La-di-da. So that's why I have it as a B. Like, it gives you some really, really nice counterplays.
All right. Well, how do you feel about Second Wind?
I don't like it.
How I'm don't like it? Do you it. Not like it?
D. I think you can ignore this card. I don't think you're going to want to bring this. Yes, stun is a pain. But honestly, you're going to spend one power to remove stun from one person. Like, I don't see the situation where you're like, oh, I have multiple characters with stun on them, so I'm going to remove it all at once. Like, stun's one of the ones that you're going to try and get off as quickly as possible. So you're just going to pay one to remove stun from one character, and then stun's just going to go right back out again. compared to the Guardians version of this, where you remove it on a bunch of characters and then they're immune, like, it really doesn't hold up. Like, I get it, they're two different affiliations, but yeah, I'm not a fan of Second Wind at all.
I find your thoughts on this card stunning. No, not really. I rated this card a C for much the same reason that you said. I think it's a little better than you're making it out to be, because I think stuns are going to become only more common, not less common, and so its value is going to go up over time. Star-Lord obviously starts bringing stun back in a big way. Proxima is going to, you know, add more stuns to the game. It's certainly solid, and sometimes you just want to do some fair healing and, like, top people off, and I think it's solid. I give it a solid C.
I think I rate it lower because, again, it's in the worst affiliation in the game, so...
Well, at least Sriracha Fim is back. I was getting a little worried. He was getting a little too moderated throughout this episode. All right, well, let's talk about Seeing Red. This is basically how Sriracha Fim feels when he has to play Avengers. He sees red. I think this card is interesting. I've tried it a few times and I've never actually had it do anything. I swear every time I use Seeing Red to, like, generate an extra attack, it doesn't do anything. But I could possibly see in certain crisis where you can get, like, generate an extra attack out of, like, MODOK or something, this could be pretty crazy, because he could, like, earn back the power he spent on this card with a free Psionic Blast. So I think it's solid, but I settled in as a C because I still think it's going to struggle to make your roster, you know, a fair amount of the time.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I did the same thing. You might have an interesting combo set up with Venom and Winter Soldier for this, or like Winter Soldier and someone else, because Winter Soldier gets that reactive attack when someone close to him takes damage, and if they take damage and get KO'd, you can then technically make two reactive attacks. But like, aside from that weird corner case scenario, I think it's a C. Maybe in the future we might be seeing something really interesting, but right now, no.
Alright. Well then, how do you feel about Sibling Rivalry?
Sibling Rivalry, finally, a team-up card that does what I want it to do. It does something else. It does a, you know, it's a staggered special condition, and I think staggered is the best special condition to hand out, personally. I love handing out staggered.
I love staggered it when I stagger MODOK. You're right, I absolutely agree. Staggered MODOK is the best.
Yes. So I think, you know, if you're running Thor and you're running Loki, absolutely solid, great choice. But I rate it at C because it's in that situation. You have to run Thor and Loki at the same time. And the situation where you're doing that is so low. I don't think you're going to see teams and squads where they're both going to be around at the same time. So it's one of those ones, like, I have a specific plan around Sibling Rivalry that I'm building everything else off.
So is it C when it's played in Asgard, and then is it a lower tier when it's played in Avengers?
Well, yeah, everything's a lower tier when it's played in Avengers.
I gave this one a B. I think this one's better than you're making it out to be. I think the only reason I'm not playing it in my current Asgard roster is because Loki's just not a part of it. Mm-hmm. But there are some variations where if I were going to be playing Loki, I would absolutely be playing this. And I think it probably is going to be more common in Avengers because Loki's kind of a baller Avenger. And Thor is as well. So I could absolutely see some really annoying Avengers teams that have Thor and Loki. So it's certainly interesting. And like it adds all the things in, right? It's not too restrictive. It's range 2. It's only 1 power per character. It gives you some damage. It like penalizes their ability to negate the damage and they're suffering stack. Like it's all the things that you kind of want out of a duo card, reasonable restrictions and you know, above average output.
Yep.
So I dig it. What do you, smash is you.
Mm-hmm.
I have a really hard time having any strong feelings about this card. So I settled into a C. I can see why some people take it. It's a card that can potentially help you deal some extra damage, but the problem is most of the characters who would make the best use of this, they tend to like struggle with power as well. Like I could totally see Venom using this card to good, but he's already so restricted on his power usage. Mm-hmm. So for me, this one just settles into middle of the road as a C.
I have this one as a D because honestly, I think it's really only good with size 4 characters. Cause that's when you get the most efficiency for the power. And so that leaves you MODOK and Hulk currently.
What's the Black Order character that's, on the Hulk sized base?
Black Dwarf.
Yes. Yeah. I think this, I mean, theoretically, if that guy's got, you know, solid energy or solid power generation, mm-hmm. I can see Smash being good with him.
Yeah. So. Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, size 4 characters want to use it because that's when you're going to get the most bang for your buck out of it. Aside from that, it's just kind of a, you can leave it in your bag. You don't really have to look at it.
Okay. All right. So, Sucker. How do you feel about
Sucker? I have Sucker as a C. I think the fact that the restriction on injured enemy character is too much of a negative. I think if it was any character, it would 100% be like an A-rated card. But on an injured character, right now, my only, like, I will use this to counter Age of Ultron. That's it.
Yeah, I think if you're playing in Guardians, I could see you taking this card, but I also chose it as a C because I think the injured restriction takes this down to being slightly too situational.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I'm right there with you. It's a C. I might take it in Guardians because I think it has potentially great uses, but I'm not sure if they come up often enough in the average game because the average game is relatively quick.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Okay. So that brings us on to Tactical Analysis.
I dig this card. The more I have been playing lately, the more I've liked Tactical Analysis. I think it facilitates some really powerful moves, and I'm constantly, the more I have it as one of my 5 cards, the more I'm seeing some really interesting ways to use it. I like it. It's still slightly hard to fit in at times because it's competing with a lot of great cards, but mm-hmm. I have been mm-hmm. finding that it is absolutely game winning for a lot of teams. So it's falling in as a solid A for me.
I have this one as a B, as a really solid scenario play piece. I think it has great value in Wakandan Herbs. Because it's an additional avance, it's not a move action, so it could help you get your herb carrier back to your pot a lot better. I can definitely see it as becoming an aggressive thing. I have this one as like a B, but more of a high B. I don't think it's quite in an A, but I do think it's a very, very good B. Like, you wouldn't go wrong with bringing it in your 8 or even your 5.
Yeah, I think the reason why I ended up sticking it as an A, especially in, say, something like Gamma Wave, where this card could very easily not just buy you a better position the next turn, but it could also facilitate you being able to shift the game 2 or 3 victory points by going, well, this character wasn't on the crisis, you have one character in that spot, like being able to move them into the position, like, and just denying points or shifting things to being like, well, you only had an injured there, and now I moved a healthy character onto that spot, so instead of you getting that 1 point, I gained 3, and shifting the game 4 points, that's really good. And so I'm finding, like, what this brings to the table and what it complications it creates for your opponent, it's fantastic. And like the only slam against this card is there's just so many good tactics cards.
Yes, very true. Very okay. True.
Well, we got Age of Ultron. This one's you.
Age of Ultron, man, when the cards for the base game were spoiled, people lost their shit over this one. I think I saw more conversations about Age of Ultron than I did anything else. And as the game goes on, honestly, I think it's like, it's a B. It's a solid choice if you take Ultron. The fact that he has to have 8 power on him is such a tough thing to do. But on the flip side of that is that, well, now your opponent knows that they can't let Ultron ever get to 8 power, so Ultron kind of gets left alone. So you can, you know, with just Ultron and Age of Ultron, have a little, like, off-to-the-side skirmisher to do some sort of asymmetrical attack where he's off on his own and your opponent doesn't really have a good way to deal with him.
You're not wrong. I like it. It settled into a solid C for me. I think it's useful, but a lot of the time, even when I'm taking Ultron, I don't really care if they go after him. It's just like, if they're attacking Ultron and not my other characters, I'm generally want to encourage them to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, especially now the Ultron Venom drop-off thing. Like, most of the time you take an Ultron, it's just to drop off Venom, and then, like, what Ultron does after that is just kind of gravy. It's extra stuff.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Ultron, if you want to play a team where Ultron is going to really aggressively move up the table and take an extract on your opponent's side of the board, I think Age of Ultron is a solid card to take, because you can have Ultron, like, right in the mix of everything. Mm-hmm. And that puts him in a more dangerous spot. So I think if you're going to play this, do really aggressive shit with him. Like,
yes. Yes.
If you're taking Age of Ultron and you're playing in Hammers, or you're playing in Evac, or you're playing in Cubes, I think Ultron wants to be on your opponent's side of the board, taking extracts and being like, bitch, deal with me.
Yep. 100% agree.
Okay. So let's move on to Thunder Wave. I feel like that should be a character. Like, it's probably, like, it sounds like a Thor villain, right? Thor versus Thunder Wave, who's got mechanical gauntlets that allows him to create waves of thunder. I don't know, it feels like something probably happened. I danced around this card a little bit. It's, I mean, a beam 5 at strength 6 is solid. It's not too expensive to play, but the restrictions are pretty tight for the location. They have to be very close together, both Cap and Thor, but the reality is, most Avengers teams are probably going to have Cap and Thor. So that character restriction part doesn't matter that much. This is going to be a pretty easy card to fit in. The question is a beam 5 power 6 worth 4 power? That's a hard thing to answer. I don't play it much, so I ended up settling it as a D, but I didn't give it an F because I do think it has potentially powerful situations depending on what crisis you're planning around. So I'm giving it a D.
No, I gave it an F. Toss it in the trash, forget it exists, move on. I don't think...
Sriracha Bim has spoken.
I don't think there are ever going to be situations where you're going to be like, man, I would have won that game if I just played Thunderwave. Like, that's never going to happen. And if that happens, please email omnisprotocol@gmail.com and tell us all about it.
All right, perfect. So, till the end of the line. Another the team end up, Arna.
Yes, but what I actually like, surprisingly, I have this one rated as an A.
Are you actually, is Sirachafim still on the show, or is this like replaced with someone else? Because Sirachafim does not like team-up cards.
I don't like team-up cards, but I love this team-up card. I think this is like, this is what team-up cards should look like. It's, all right. So it's full power over both of them. They both have to spend four. It's kind of expensive. They both have to be within one of each other. It's restrictive on range. But man, the benefits... The benefits make those restrictions great. Absolutely. Like, if I'm playing Winter Soldier and Cap in a squad, this card is going in without question. Done. Moving on. Like, I like the fact that in densely packed scenarios, in scenarios where you have two, where people are together, I can just waltz Cap and Bucky up, plop them somewhere, go till the end of the line, and be like, deal with this.
All right, you're not, I don't think you're wrong there. So what's the letter grade?
A. I gave it an A.
A for America?
Sure. So I can't think of anything else.
All right. I agree with you on basically everything you said. I settled in as a B. I do think there's some matchups where this can be really key, like fighting Wakanda Wave at 15 mm-hmm. points. This could be one of the things that helps facilitate Avengers at that threat level. Like, I could totally see Cap, Bucky, Thor, Valkyrie or something being a potentially really solid team, and having till the end of the line at the right moment where you can't throw or push Bucky or Cap off the point. I think that's super, super solid. I dig it. So, but I went with a B because I still think those matchups are not common enough, but I like it.
All right. So, yeah. Trip up.
This one was a little bit more challenging. I certainly like the card, but it's one that I have found a little difficult to use at times. It's kind of a team up card, right? Because it's one of those that requires two characters. You're activating. Sorry. When an allied character targets an enemy character with an attack during its activation, and the target character is within two of another character. So what I like about this is the attacking character doesn't actually have to be within range two. Just another character has to be there.
Right.
And they only have to spend one each. Now, the hard part about this is they do have to deal damage. After the attack is resolved, the character suffers stun and stagger special conditions. I think there is a strong potential to play this and say, like, Wakanda. For instance, it's pretty reliable for Shuri to put one damage on someone, right?
Yeah, like, yeah.
And so it could be really easy for her to activate at the end of a round and just shoot for someone for one damage and then push them off a point and leave them staggered and stunned going into the next round is pretty significant. And the only thing you need to set that up is to have one ally within two of that character. And I don't think that's too out of the realm of possibilities. So, I don't know. Let's make sure it works with... So it just had to be within two when she makes the attack. So,
yep.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's definitely some possibilities there. So I went with a B for this one. It's not... It is really good, and I think we probably deserve to be playing it more often. But not quite an A.
I have this one as an A. This is my my card that I think everyone's sleeping on right now. Being able to put stun and stagger is huge. You're screwing with your opponent's power economics. You're screwing with your opponent's action economics. I think this is one that people should play more often. And the more you play it, you'll find that it's actually pretty easy to get off. It's not as hard as you initially think it would be. So, yeah, this is the one that I'm like, if you, out of this entire list, out of both episodes, if you were to take one card that's like, Sriracha Seraphim says, this is the one that I need to try more, trip up. 100%, this is the one card that you need to try more. This is the one that I think everyone's sleeping on.
I think there's a lot of interesting situations where you can play this in conjunction with drop-off as well.
Yeah.
Where you're like, yeah. Well, I definitely have a character within two of you because I just dropped them off.
Again, drop-off is OP, but...
Yes, drop-off is absolutely Ominous Protocol OP. There is no hot pockets involved with that statement. But I dig trip up. I don't even think the argument for A is that hard. Like, you could probably sell me on it. My only problem is just in the teams that I've been playing, this hasn't quite fit in because of just positioning and the dependability of making sure that I deal damage, because I haven't been playing very damage dealy teams. It's been a little bit more defensive aggression. So, but I like it. I think if you're playing teams where you can dependably deal that damage, I think squeeze it in and give it a try. So, all right. Well, next up is Uneasy Allies.
Sweet card art. Definitely F. Throw it in the garbage disposal. Turn it on. Forget it exists. Move on with your life. F. 100%. I hate this card.
Hot pocket.
Yeah.
Okay. I do not think it's as awful as what he's saying. And I think part of that is stuff that's just... I'm looking a little more future-based. The only problem with this card is that it requires both Spider-Man and Venom. It's... What I like about it, it's three dice to their attack roll, and it only costs one damage each for them to play it. So it doesn't consume power. And I think the timing for this card, because I think AMG originally wanted one of the spider factions or something to come out sooner. And it sounded like the Ghost Spider and Miles Morales Spider-Man were part of a pack where they were having some molding issues or something, some production issue with them. And so I think we were meant to have that affiliation sooner. And I think as soon as we have an affiliation where both Spider-Man and Venom are affiliated characters, or at least one of them is affiliated, I think they're both fantastic characters. And especially if you say like Defenders is great for how it interacts with their special abilities, I could see starting rosters with Strange, Spider-Man, and Venom. And if that's happening, Uneasy Allies is probably going in a lot of my rosters. And so I couldn't put it lower than a C, but because some of that's hypothetical and that's future based, and it's just me looking at the core strength of Spider-Man and Venom, and the only thing that's holding it back is just going, would I play both of them right now? And maybe I'd do that in Avengers. Like, I could see making a roster that's, you know, Captain America, Black Widow, plus another character, and then these two, because their push and pull effects are so great. And in that case, I might play Uneasy Allies. But right now, that's hard to do. So I settled in as a C, not nearly as spicy jalapeno as the F that Sriracha Fim gave it.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to see F you playing me. Both of these, and I'll just put over, and I'm just like gonna write F on the card. Be like, poor card selection.
Alright, I'm down. If that day ever happens, 100%.
Just you're like sharp card right now. Like, I'm just gonna make sure this shit doesn't happen. Like, I actually, that's going to be your J-Day present next year. Just going to be a poster-sized picture of Uneasy Allies. And be like,
I'm down.
To our buddy Jamie, Sriracha Fim, lover of character duo cards. let's go into Usurp the Throne. I'm giving this one an A. This is a character-defining card. It is a game-defining card. It is... I mean, there's a certain cards in here that can kind of pseudo create victory points, but this one just straight up creates two victory points. I might have said that it was S tier if it wasn't for some characters like Loki that potentially make this a whole lot harder to pull off. And it can be harder to pull off against Asgardians in general with access to Odin's blessing, but it's still really, really, really good. And so I settled in at an A.
I have this one as an S because of the two VPs. Like, any time that you can
S score... for Sriracha!
Yeah, anytime that you can score VPs outside of scenario, 2 points is a massive swing. Like, think about the number of games where you've played with a single extract and your opponent's grabbed it, and at the end of the turn, they go up an additional 2 points over you. Like, just think how hard of a climb back that was. And they can do that and a SERP, and now they're 4 points ahead. It's, yeah, this one's definitely an S. Is there counter tech out there? Sure. Do I think this one needs to be eroded? No. Is this one of the best tactics cards in the game? Absolutely, without a doubt.
You want me to give you some super spicy Sriracha tech for you to get excited to play with? I haven't recorded on this particular topic yet, but I'm going to soon. So imagine you're playing in Hammers, right? The wordy scenario, right? And so you envision those two hammers that are on the middle of the table.
Yeah.
Right? So on one side of the board, you advance some character up and you take the hammer, right? And so your opponents are immediately like, well, I need to take the hammer that's on the other side because I can't give you both of those, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to go for the one that's back by your deployment line. So they move up a character and grab that hammer that's on that side of the board. Now, if you have Ultron and Killmonger on that side of the board, Ultron moves far enough forward that he can drop off Killmonger in range to immediately attack anyone who picked up that hammer.
Ooh.
It has to be a 50 millimeter base pulling the drop off, but they can drop off Killmonger within range to make a range to attack. So you would have Ultron move up. Killmonger gets to poke them with an energy attack and get power, and then Ultron still gets to blast him once. So you still have two attacks going into whatever character's there, and Killmonger hasn't activated yet.
Yeah.
And so it's not that unlikely that he could generate three power from that attack. If he deals two damage, because we're potentially talking about Cabal right now, and you could usurp turn one in Hammers, and then he knocks out that character, picks up a hammer, and he's like, bitch, who's next?
And this is an S! How is this not an S card?
Because drop-off is what makes that amazing. Drop-off is an S.
Yes, drop-off, 100% OP, best card in the game, for sure. So this is still an S card. Drop-off
is like S++++, and then like, Usurp is like S-.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
I could potentially agree with you there, but I don't think a SERP needs to be changed. And I think just about anything in the S tier is good enough that it should probably change. I don't think a SERP is so good that it needs to change.
Okay. I can get behind that reasoning.
Yeah. For me, S tier means this card is so good that it probably should be adjusted in a small way, at least. I don't think that applies to a SERP. I think a SERP is a really, really good card, but it is fine the way that it is.
Okay.
Okay. So, Vibranium Shielding. Is this me?
That one's you.
I dig it. I love playing Wakanda. Wakanda is one of my primary affiliations. I go back and forth on this card. Sometimes you use it to just like have Black Panther spend one, so he has Invul, making him dumb. Sometimes you have Shuri do it so that she can protect a bunch of characters, and it's kind of cool, but more and more I find myself wanting I'd rather have her play patch up on someone or med pack. And so for me, this has fallen to kind of a B slot where it's kind of fighting in that same defensive area as med pack, patch up, and Vibranium Shielding, and even Field Dressing, and they're all good, right? There's reasons to take any of those four cards, but you're not playing all four. Maybe you are, I guess. Maybe you go Wakanda Forever and then these four, and in that case, it's solid, but there's a little too much competition for me to go higher than a B, so I've settled into a solid B for this one. Solid B for Black Panther.
I had this one as a C because it's so situational, and again, like, I would rather be doing med pack or patch up on this for like my defensive tech as opposed to Vibranium shielding. Invulnerability is cool. It could possibly save, but it's one of those... You gotta have to find the right situation to make this card really shine.
Okay, I have a strange question for you now, Sirachafim. Are you a fan of wrestling?
Yeah.
Have you ever watched Dwayne The Rock Johnson wrestle?
Yeah.
Are you familiar with his single eyebrow?
Yeah.
I'm giving you this eyebrow right now.
You're giving me the people's eyebrow? I'm
giving you the people's eyebrow. The protocol eyebrow, because I'm feeling like this is some more cabal manipulation here, where you're like, please take the healing ones where I get full power generation from my attacks. Do not take the one that reduces my power generation. Take patch up and med pack where I get the damage and get all of my power, and then you have to spend power to heal them. Don't take the one that reduces the amount of power that I generate with MODOK, because that would be bad. So this is why you're getting the people's eyebrow, because I feel like you're Red Skulling us here.
We had an agreement in the last episode that you weren't going to out the Cabal tactics here.
No, that is not an agreement. This is more Cabal manipulation. I never agreed to that. That's fundamentally the good point here, where when you're comparing this card to the healing cards, you got to realize that if they're using like Psionic Blast and other power generating attacks, the using patch up does not hinder your opponent really. They just kind of have to attack again. Invulnerability can straight up deny them some of their power generation, which may also prevent them from getting to a bigger attack at the end. You know, if MODOK only ends up with one power after everything that he does, he can't walk you away afterwards. And that's why I put it as a B, because I'm not a, you know, Cabal minion like Sirachafim.
I just prefer the other defensive tech. I prefer the healing over this.
You prefer people taking the defensive tech that's not as good against Cabal. Like, please, take the healing cards that don't do anything after I dazed your character.
All right. Okay. So, the other Wakanda card, the other affiliation-defining card, is Wakanda Forever. I know what you say about S tier and how there's something that should be eroded. If possible, you don't feel that cards that are fine and don't need an errata shouldn't be in the S tier. I still think just for how strong this card is, it needs to stand above the rest of the A tier. And Wakanda Forever 100% is an S tier card. It is so powerful. It is so affiliation defining. It opens up so many lines of play and actions that you can take. You use it in the Wakanda wave. You use it in a Wakanda sub. You use it if you want to go KO with Wakanda. Like, if you go, all right, I'm going to play Wakanda. All right, I go Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, and then I build out the rest. Like, just immediately, this is what happens. So this has to be an S because it has to stand out above everything else in the A tier.
So, Sirachafim, out of curiosity, what ranking do you think I'm going to give this card?
I think you're going to give it an A.
Okay. You're still wrong, because it is an S tier. And I'm going to say, so far, even as a Wakanda player, I think this card is potentially so good that it still should have some sort of tweak. I don't know what it should be, because I don't think it should be 2 power per. Now, I'd only say it should be 2 power per if, like, the Wakanda affiliation changed and, like, Black Panther's leadership was all characters get to reroll 1 die on each attack. Or, like, right, if it was, like, just 1 reroll on everything and didn't cost them power, then I think Wakanda Forever could probably cost 2 power per character who uses it. But maybe it's something where, like, somebody takes a damage or like some range restriction. It's just really, really good as it is, and I do think it's potentially too good, where even if one character gets to generate one attack for one power in a in an affiliation that has some of the most powerful game impacting attacks in the game, like mm-hmm. Black Panther's pushes, like Shuri's got pushes, and like theirs are generating power, and Killmonger helps him set up for a SERP. Like, this card is really, really good and is truly S tier, and I think it pushes beyond that A plus, where Wakanda Forever is a card that is like, what happens if they want to add like M'Baka to Wakanda at some point, right? Which is like my number one most wanted character in the game at this point. But if you add another Wakandan character, that only makes this card better, unless you just don't give him attacks. Like, it just, I don't know. It is really, really good, and it is S tier, absolutely. And it's not one that I think, I'm putting it kind of S minus because it's an affiliated card. I think it only barely is outside of that A tier, where it needs only a small adjustment. But I think to a certain extent, that's probably why the Wakanda affiliation got such a mediocre leadership, was because of the strength of this card. And maybe that was what they felt like the reasonable factor was, but I don't know. It's so good.
It's so good. It is such a good card. I love it so much.
All right. You know, I kind of wish that we were ending the episode on Wakanda Forever, because it's just so amazing. But now we're ending it on a different card. And this one's me, right? Like, where I close out the shop on this one with We Are Groot. I dig this card. Come on,
Guardians guy.
Yeah. I dig this card, and obviously, the affiliations most likely to play Groot are Guardians and Avengers.
Yeah.
And I think both of those affiliations don't mind taking this card, because Avengers tends to want to play a very defensive, solid game plan, and so healing multiple characters in one activation, and it doesn't have to be Groot's activation when he plays it, solid. So I like it there. And he probably wants to be in the middle of the table, so it's going to be pretty easy for him to catch multiple characters. Avengers love... the only problem is Avengers kind of loves deadly meteors, and I don't think Groot is necessarily like the perfect character for that. But still, solid card there. And if you're playing it in Guardians, it can always be something that you dump for winging it. And so you don't have to depend on it being part of your plan. But honestly, even if you get to play it for three and you heal two characters for two damage each, that's still really good. So overall, I settled into a solid B for this card. It's not amazing. It's not mediocre. It's solid to me.
Wow. We're going to round out this episode with you and I agreeing. I have this one as a B as well. No spicy takes on this one. I think it's a really solid card. If you're including Groot in your squad, including this card, I think is a very valid option for all of the reasons that you listed out there. Guardians, from what we've seen so far, they're lower threat, lower health, so the extra... removing two damage is a huge swing for them. On the Avengers side, again, because they're more defensive, you want to stick around longer. Heals work out great for them. So, yeah, I 100% agree with you. B, I think it's a very, very solid, solid card.
You know, I'm not sure if I'm okay with this episode ending with us agreeing, so I think I'm going to rate it M for Milano. It's cool. I'm looking forward to like playing more Guardians when we get to see Ronan and Drax. I think that's where, you know, this card could push up to A for Alyssa Milano. Uh-huh. And if those characters got a little bit more girth to them, then I think this could absolutely be an even more impactful part. So I dig it.
No, you have Angela too. Like, Angela in the comic books is a brawler. But
Angela doesn't have a release, doesn't even have like an image yet. So I'm not getting myself very too carried away. M'Baku could still come out before Angela.
Very true. Very, very true.
All right, man. Well, I think this wraps up. How did you feel about the overall rankings of all of these tactics cards? the tactics card tier list.
I like it. I'm always a fan of the fact that we don't agree, you know, 100% on everything that we do have. You have opinions that I disagree with. I have opinions that you disagree with. We both agree that Avengers are terrible.
I agree that you're a Cabal minion spreading Red Skull's lies through my podcast, and you disagree and say that you're not doing that. That is the nature of our relationship.
No, I think that this was actually a really good exercise itself to do, because not only are you looking at each card in a vacuum, you also have to take each card, you know, like on the table as well. And so a card in the vacuum might be better, but in play, it really doesn't work out that way. It was a very nice exercise to like whittle away 3 to 4 hours of my Sunday working on.
Not like you had anything better to do during the quarantine.
No, not at all. But it was good. Like it's definitely kept me, you know, it helps keep me engaged in the game, because I can't really get any games in right now. Everything's shut down here in Vegas. But I did get to, like, I'm sitting there, I've got my cards up on my screen, and I'm making notes, and I've got a bunch of notes. So, like, it also, like, refreshed some of these cards that I haven't seen in a while, and what they do and what's going on. And as I'm going through this, like, in my head, I'm like, well, this card will actually combo really well with this and blah, blah, blah. So, like, I'm mentally, like, chugging the wheels type thing.
Yeah, it makes sense. Well, listeners, thank you for tuning in to 2 complete episodes of Super Sriracha Hot Pocket Podcasting. And thank you so much, Sriracha Fim, for podcasting with me, because this has been an absolute delight.
Anytime. I love podcasting with you, man. It's always fun.
I mean, this is kind of like going to Taco Bell, where I think I'm going to have to sit on the toilet for a while and just deal with the consequences of my decisions. But overall, this is super fun. And yes. I'm very concerned that there's going to be a point after this podcast where someone listened to you and they're going to be playing against a Cabal player and they're like, man, but that Jamie guy said that this was a C and it actually seems super OP. And that's when the opponent's going to lean over to them and just say, Hail Hydra.